Hey, good evening, everyone. You know, I'm so excited tonight. Very excited. I was just standing there and Holy Spirit just gave me the assurance that God is good. I just felt such joy in the Lord. He's good, He's faithful, and He's amazing. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And the words came to my mind, do not put your trust in man, but put your trust in the Lord. And if that means something to somebody, that's the word of the Lord for tonight. Who's excited for the word of God tonight? I'm pumped, man, come on. So tonight, we're starting a brand new series on worship. Who's excited? Worship. Who knows Francis Chan? Francis Chan, a very well-known preacher, teacher, founder of a church. He's an American guy, and he's a former pastor of Cornerstone Community Church in California. And one day after the service, a lady came to Francis Chan and said, Pastor, I didn't really quite like the vibe of the worship tonight. And Francis Chan just took a few moments and said, well, I'm sorry you felt that way, but we weren't really worshiping you. I'm sorry you felt that way, but we're worshiping God if you didn't know. So on that note tonight, we're kicking off this new series, Worship. Tonight, I'm going to look into what worship is. And Hayden's going to come up next week. He's going to look into what power of worship is. What is the power of worship? Young man, I didn't even see you. What's your name? Kayla, good to see you, man. Power of worship. Hayden will tackle that. Come and be here. It's going to be good. As Christians, we often use the word worship. Worship is a very common phrase that we use. And what does it mean, actually? What is worship according to this word of God? What is worship according to God Himself? Is it something that only happens within the four walls of this church? Is it something that happens from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning and then 5 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday night? Or is there something more to it? Now we had a worship service. Can we give a big round of applause to the worship team tonight? Incredible, incredible. Do we now wait for next Sunday night to experience God's presence here? No, we don't. It's normal for Christians to leave a church and say, man, that was good. That was amazing worship. It is very common. I absolutely enjoy worship. I absolutely loved tonight. Thank God's presence, like Adrian said. But is that all worship is? We had an encounter worship last Thursday. 13 young adults, youth and young adults stand up to a night of encounter. Absolutely on fire. And I got to say tonight how proud I am about the young adults of this church. Can we as a church give a big round of applause to the young adults in this church? I'm so excited, and words cannot explain how proud I am the journey that you're on, the way that you are serving the Lord, and how much you guys have grown. You know, people were just all over the place, laying hands, praying for people. A few new people came. And I thought, man, this was meant to be for an hour and a half, and it's already over 2 hours and still going. I thought, man, Holy Spirit is ministering in this place. Why not? Just keep going. If it's 3 hours, shall it be? You know, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through these encounter nights. There's going to be nights where it'll be 4 hours. There's going to be nights where it'll be 5 hours. Who knows? God's good, amen? But is that all worship is? Singing music in the church is just one aspect of worship. It's not limited to songs. And tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn to the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus mentions the word true worshipers. Very fascinating, true worshipers. And he says it is the true worshipers that the Father in heaven seeks. So who are these true worshipers that Jesus is talking about, and how do the true worshipers worship God? So in John chapter 4, Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman at the well. It was a big no-no back in that time, but Jesus was always about breaking the rules. He went and spoke to the Samaritan woman. It's a very simple yet profound story. And another interesting fact about the story is it is the longest conversation that anyone ever had with Jesus Christ. It's a 42-verse long conversation. And this woman was living in a very sinful life. And Jesus started to speak to this woman and started to expose her lifestyle. And at this point, this woman is thinking, man, this man is no ordinary man. There's something special about this guy. He's never met me before, but he knows everything about me. And she said, I can see that you're a prophet. And she said, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Now she knows that Jesus knows everything about a private life. Jesus said, well, go and get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. Well, that's true. Matter of fact is you have had five husbands and the man Johnny you're living with is not your husband. And this woman is probably embarrassed and she tried to change the topic and she said, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus replied to this woman and said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain and nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. And Jesus continues on saying, yet a time is coming and has now come, right now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And Jesus says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. So why don't we pray tonight? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for using me to speak your word. I pray that you would strengthen me as I speak your word. Lord, I just pray that you would touch hearts tonight. Pray that you would help us live according to your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this woman tells Jesus that her ancestors worshiped God on this mountain. And the Jews says, well, you got to worship in Jerusalem. What should we do? Are we confused? I want to know where we should worship and how we should worship. I know that the Messiah is coming. When once he comes, finally we will have an answer. He will explain to us everything about worship. And she has no idea the man standing right in front of him is the promised Messiah. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying to this woman, the issue is not where you worship. The issue is how you worship. The issue is no longer about which mountain you worship or whether you go to Jerusalem. The issue is how you worship. The issue is not whether you worship in Hope Point Church in this amazing building or whether you go to Centenary Lakes or whether you worship in your car. God is spirit. It means he's not confined to one place. He can be here. He can be in India right now. He can be in California where Ben is. He can be everywhere. It is not where we worship that matters. It is how we worship that matters. Jesus said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And this whole passage gives us three points without which true worship is impossible. We need Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the time has now come where everything will change. The second point is, we must worship in spirit. And the third point is, we must worship in truth. So I'm going to unpack all those three tonight, and I'm pretty excited. You know, I love it when I'm preparing sermon. I'm like, you know, towards the end of the sermon, I'm like, where is the microphone? I just want to go do it now. I'll get so excited. I love preaching the Word of God. So you got to worship in spirit, and you got to worship in truth, and you need Jesus Christ. True worship is impossible without Jesus Christ. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, and when He comes, everything will finally change. And Jesus said, He is here now. He has come. I, the one standing in front of you, I am He. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that happened before. He's the fulfillment of everything that was before. If I want to worship God, I must come to Jesus Christ. He's the image of God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the redeemer. He's the reconciler of creation, and He's the head of the church. God revealed Himself through the Son, Jesus Christ. And if I must worship God, I cannot come without Jesus Christ. I have to acknowledge Jesus Christ. He is the focus of worship, because He is the focus of the Father's work. It is impossible to worship God without acknowledging Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins. And Jesus said, God is spirit. And we must worship Him in spirit. What does that mean? God is spirit. Like I said, He is spirit. He's not confined to one place. He's eternal. He's immortal. He's everlasting. He's omniscient, which means He knows everything. You cannot hide from God. He's omnipotent, which means He has infinite power. Nothing can be hidden from God. So what does it mean by worshiping God in spirit? So to worship God in spirit means to connect with God in person to person. It is referring to our emotions, our will, our heart, our inner being. And because God is spirit, we don't need to gather in one particular place to meet with God. You can be anywhere. I can be driving my car and have an encounter with Jesus. Before the cross of Jesus Christ, people worshipped by sacrificing a lamb. They had to sacrifice the lamb for the sins that they committed to come into the presence of God. But the cross put an end to those sacrifices. Jesus died for your sins. But worshipping in spirit, it is saying that we no longer need to worship God by sacrificing a lamb. It is meaning that we can do inwardly and wholeheartedly trust in the Lamb of God, that is Jesus Christ. He is the real Lamb. Our worship to God must be heartfelt and alive. You know, it is possible for me to sit down in church, sing along with Dan and the team, but not meaning anything to me. I can do a lip service. Not that I did. Jesus said to the Pharisees, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me, and they worship me in vain. William Temple defined worship as a submission of all our nature to God. Submission of all our nature to God. And Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What is Paul talking about? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Christians in Rome. And the first 11 chapters, 1 to 11, he's talking about the amazing grace that Jesus Christ has shown on the cross. The mercy of God to all our sinners. He's saying, look at what He's done. And then he's saying, therefore, because of that, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of what He's done, offer your bodies as your living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that's your true and proper worship. The greatest act of redemption shown on the cross, how can we not give Him the true worship? How can we not offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. There's a story of a very old pastor in a little Scottish church, and he was asked to resign because there had been no conversions in the church. And the old pastor said, "Well, it's been a very tough year, but there's one conversion, and his name is Bobby," replied the pastor. They had forgotten the lad who had not only been saved, but had given himself in full commitment to God. It was Bobby who, in a missionary meeting, when a plate was passed around for offerings, and he asked the usher to put the plate on the floor, and he stepped into it with his bare feet, saying, "I'll give myself. I have nothing else to give." And Bobby became the world-renowned Robert Moffat, who, with David Livingstone, gave his life to ministry in the continent of Africa. He just stepped into the plate and said, "Here I am, Lord. I'm sacrificing everything for your sake." And God used him mightily. This is what Paul is saying. This is what in Paul's mind when he instructed the Roman church to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's what Robert Moffat did. And that is what is expected of each and every one of us as worshipers. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Asked a woman to a pastor, and the pastor held out a blank sheet of paper, and he said, "It is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and let God fill it as He wills." It is obedience to God's will of every part of our life. It is offering our everyday life, our everyday task to the will of God. It is me saying, "Lord, it's not my plan anymore, it's your plan. It's not my decisions, but your decisions. Not my will, but your will. Not my desires, not my selfish ambitions anymore, but it's yours." The way we talk to our friends, the way we treat our spouses, how we carry ourselves at work, and what we do in our private life Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, all that should be an act of worship to God. Not just a time of worship on a Sunday. That is a big aspect of worship, but our lives should be an act of worship. We go to work, and we should be able to say, "I'm going to work to worship God." The way I carry myself, the way I speak to people. I can go to Bunnings and be going to church. Gerald One said this: worship is not part of the Christian life, it is the Christian life. It is not part of our Christian life. The very life that we lead should be worship. Somebody has done wrong things by you. The fact that you can forgive is an act of worship. Your mate's struggling with something. The fact that you give him a helping hand, that's an act of worship. You give encouragement to somebody who's down, that's an act of worship. Somebody is in need of financial help, you help him out, that's an act of worship. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain." When Jesus is the center of our lives, we can present the true and proper worship by offering every moment and every part of our life and every action to God. If I could please get the worship team to come up, Dan, and thank you. Lastly, true worshipers worship God in truth. And what does that mean? Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." you know, Christianity is not based on some speculation. God so loved the world that he came, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, and he died on the cross for our sins. And the Father in heaven raised him from the dead. This is the truth. He paid the heavy price for our sins. And he made a way for us to have a relationship with the Father in heaven. He reconciled us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are able to worship God for who he is because we have this very truth. That Jesus came and died for our sins. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. The church tonight, I want to encourage you. Worship is more than just the songs. Worship is more than what happens within these four walls. The world out there is looking at us. Does our words match our deeds? Does our word match our actions? You know, we don't want to be those people that Jesus says, these people worship, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Let us be true worshipers. To worship this awesome God. Therefore, in view of this, view of God's mercy, let us offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I just want to encourage you guys tonight. Let our lives be worship. Everything that we do, may that be an act of worship to our Heavenly Father. Things that we do every day task. You know, the other day I was driving and I just got a bit mad because I had a Range Rover just doing 90 k's on 100 zone and wouldn't let me go. And I just got a little bit mad. Eventually, just jumped in the middle lane and just overtook. I thought, just because you have a Range Rover doesn't mean you're on the fast lane. Just got a bit mad. I shouldn't have. I should have had more self-control. Let our lives be an offer, an act of worship to God. Tonight we're going to sing this song. We're going to worship, spend some time worship tonight. Jesus is the focus of our worship because he's the focus of the Father's work. And maybe you are here tonight, you never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has stirred you. And you want to make a decision tonight. This is not just another gospel appeal that I'm making. My friend, we're just one step closer and closer to eternity. I'm not the most eloquent, talented preacher or anything. I'm just another donkey that God uses. I'm just another weak person that God uses. The Bible says he uses the weak to shame the strong. This is not just another gospel appeal. If you are here tonight, you want to give your heart to Jesus. Can I ask you to come to the front? We will stand with you and pray for you. Maybe there is something. Maybe something in your heart that's burdening you. As I said before, God wants you to know that he's faithful. The seasons change, but he's good. The seasons change, but he's faithful. People fail, but God never fails. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. If there is anything that you need prayer for, I just want to open up this platform tonight. Whatever it can be, whether you want to give your life to Jesus, whatever it is, you're struggling with addiction, whatever it is, I just want to let the Holy Spirit minister in this place as we worship. And if that is you, come to the front. It would be my honor to stand with you and pray for you. God bless you tonight.